Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Isn't God good? I tell you, God's already answered our prayer. He's already answered the, and he's still answering it, but he's already answered the thing about being here. His manifested presence. I've already felt the presence of God this morning. I hope you have. If you have, wave at me. If you already felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, listen, it is an awesome thing to feel his presence and to know that he's here and that he's manifesting who he is in our midst. In our midst. Just like the, yes, Jesus loves me. I wouldn't plan on doing that. But it was God. It was the Holy Spirit. From one end to the other, it was the Holy Spirit. But I want to get started in this. Before I do, I want to make sure that you understand this ribbon. Who understands this ribbon? Anybody? Raise your hand if you understand this ribbon. There's a few. And the two that did are military people. June is the month for awareness of PTSD. For those who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. And we have these ribbons back in a basket. And wear it all month. And here's the reason why. As you go and you're wearing this ribbon, you're letting the people know wherever you go that you're aware that there are people who served this country that came back a little different because of the trauma and the stress that they went through. And it will be a way, because the military people is going to know exactly. There'll be other people that will ask you, what's the ribbon for? And that's your opportunity to witness to them as well, to share it with them and witness to them. But the military people that come up, it'll give you an opportunity to be able to pray for them. Amen? That's a wonderful witnessing tool. So get you a ribbon, pin it on, wear it all week. All week. All month. Wear it all month because it's all month long. So it's the teal. I almost wore the right shirt. So anyway, I'm getting real close to hearing God, right? It is awesome to be here. It really, really is. And by the way, are the ushers ready again? Today is the day we're taking up the offering for Bibles to send to our local National Guard soldiers that have already been deployed. And we are around $1,800 shy. We'd need about 100 more Bibles. There's about 160 that have already went. They're already over there, and they're at a couple of different places. But what we want to do is get these. We want to purchase all the Bibles and send them all at once. So we need about 100 more Bibles, and they're about $16.99 a piece, and then we have a little bit of shipping. So I want to take up a special offering today just for that. You know, the trauma that some of these guys go through and the stress that some of these guys go through, you can come down. Some of these guys go through, and girls. Who knows? It may be the very Bible that you send that gets them through that stress. That gets them through that hard thing, that hard time, that hard separation that they're going through. So I would encourage you to give big. Give as much as you can. If you have a credit card, drop it in there. We'll get it back to you before it expires. It's no good after it expires, so we'll look at the date and we'll get it to you about a week before it expires. Messing with you again. But give big. We really would like to make sure that these things get sent over there very quickly. So would you join in this effort with me? So let's pray. Father, we have another wonderful opportunity to live up to the very thing that you've put upon our heart, to love you, to love people, and to make a difference. Lord, we can make a difference right here with all these soldiers that are going over by giving them the Word of God and letting it be in their hands where they are. So, Father, bless everyone that gives, and bless these soldiers, these men, these women that are serving the country and serving you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you as you give. Thank you so much for your generosity. And we will report back as well, how much we took up and where we are. I expect to be more than 1,800. That's my expectations. How about yours? I expect a little bit. Well, that's all you're going to get is a little bit. I'm expecting a whole lot, right? So we're expecting God to provide through his people to be able to do what we need to do and get this word in there. And it's a soldier's edition. Lisa's not here today. She's in Florida. So she normally takes care of making this announcement. But I want to thank you again for loving the soldiers. And don't forget your ribbon. Who's beside you? Look at them and say, remind me to get my ribbon after service. Tell them that. Now it's on you. Now it's your fault if we don't get it. Okay? All right. I want to talk to you today about the fruit of the Spirit, but I want you to go to Galatians chapter 5. I was going to, early on, I sort of had it in my mind to be able to go through this, and talk about it. But I was really felt like the Lord spoke to me that you cannot fully understand the fruit of the Spirit until you read the entire chapter. And I started going back and reading the entire chapter, and I'm like, Lord, it just puts everything together. Instead of just taking that passage, that one or two verses out, and begin to expound on it, it sort of sets the stage when you read the whole thing, and you begin to understand, or you will understand, why it is said when it's said by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when the Bible was written, why it's positioned right there. Why didn't we just start off with that? Well, God had other plans. Did you find Galatians? Everybody say yes. Are you awake? Wave at me if you are awake. Okay, I got a couple that's not waving. No, I'm missing. All right, let's look at this. Galatians chapter 5. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm. And do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Now, we'll pause there just for a moment, and we're going to get this understood. We were bound by sin. We were trapped by sin. We were overpowered by sin. We had no choice but to sin without Christ. And he died, and he says, I have come to set. Everybody say the word set. Set you free. It's almost like you're in a prison. You have prisons. You have a cell of sin, a prison cell that's a sin cell, and you're trapped. You have no freedom. You're bound and you're captive. You're held captive. And Jesus says, "Him by His death, burial, and resurrection, I have set you free." How many of you have been set free by Jesus? In other words, sin no longer has power over you. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Sin no longer has power to hold you. Remember what he said? I've set you free. But he goes on and he says, actually he says at first, he said, it is for freedom that I opened the cell for you, that I set you free. He broke the power of sin in your life. Yes? He broke the power of sin in your life. But he said, I did that so when you step out of that bondage of sin, when you step out of that, you will be able to live free of sin. Does that make sense? I have set you free. I have opened this door. I am the door for you to walk through, to no longer be empowered by this sin, to be in bondage, to be captivated by this sin. When you walk through the door, you accept the sacrifice. He said, now you are free to live free of sin. I got one amen out of that. I should say the Lord got one amen. That was his word. Listen, why did he set us free? So we could live free. He broke the bondage so we could have the freedom to be able to live without sin. You know, somebody asked me, said, well, you don't sin on purpose, do you? I said, that's the only ones I do. If I sin, most of the time, it's on purpose. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, but see, once again, he said, listen, the bondage is no longer there. But he says right here, he said, stand firm in what I've done. Stand firm in what I've done. Stand firm and do not be subject, in other words, do not subject yourself to the very bondage that he's made us free of. Don't subject yourself to it. The yoke of slavery. The yoke is this yoke, and we'll understand what this yoke is. It is the law. In this passage, it's talking about the law. Verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Here it is. Now this church, this group at this place, Galatia, they had a problem with getting back, going back under the law when Paul preached to them the grace and the freedom that we have of being born again and free from the sin and free from the law. And they had a problem with teachers of the law coming back and saying, yeah, we like that grace stuff too, but you got to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this if you want to remain saved. So he says, don't subject yourself to that because you're free. By the way, do you know what empowers sin? You know where sin gets its power? From the law. From the law. That's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56. That sin gets its power from the law. So anytime you start practicing law, anytime you start practicing legalism instead of grace, guess what you're doing? You're empowering sin that you've already been set free of. That's the reason he says, don't subject yourself to this yoke of slavery. So you can still become a slave even though you're free. There's a lot of Christians that live in bondage after they've walked out of the prison. Why? They don't understand the freedom that Christ gives us. Does that make sense? So here we go. I know I'm taking a little long here, but it's worth it. He said, if you subject yourself to getting under the law again, the thing of circumcision. No, you can't be one of God's people unless you're circumcised. That was part of the law. He said, if you're doing this, Christ will be of no benefit to you. When you get under the law, Christ is of no benefit to you. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, it's in the Bible. Believe it or not. Christ is no benefit to you. He says, and I testify again to every man who receives circumcision, that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. Now, if you're going to start with one, if you're going to get back under one law, just pick any one of the laws that Moses gave, and just pick one law that you want to still hold to today. No, I think you still need to do this. I still think you need to do this. He said, when you pick one, you're under obligation of how many of them? All of them. You just can't pick one and say, well, I'm just going to do this one and live under grace on the rest. No. He said, if you want to pick one, you got to do them all. How many wants to pick one? No, I don't. You know what that means? You got to do all of them. You got to bring animals back out. You with me? Are y'all getting anything out of this? Okay. Look, people will listen. There's a lot of ministers that will try to get you under legalism instead of under grace. People who do not understand grace scratch their heads like I have for many, many years before an understanding of grace. Scratch their head and said, this is too good to be true. It can't be this good. We got to do something. How many of you have ever felt that way? But I'm telling you, the gospel is very simple and the gospel is very powerful. If you're free from sin, you are free from the power of sin. When he forgave you of your sin, how many did he forgive? Oop, I forgot that one. No, it wasn't no oops. All of them. Once and for a few. No, once and for all. Once and for all. All right, stay with me. Where's the fruit of the Spirit? It's down there at 22. I don't know if we'll get there or not, but we're going. All right. You're under obligation to keep the whole law. Then he goes on and he says, verse 4, you have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Now, here's the issue. There'll be a lot of teachers that will teach that no longer are you in Christ. And they'll also teach, if you have fallen from grace, you have lost your salvation. That is not true. Amen. Why is it not true? That sort of looks like what it's saying. Well, that's not true. That's not what he's saying. How many of you know that you need to read the word, but you need also to study the word. Dig deeper. This thing about he said, you have been severed from Christ. That word means to. The Holy Spirit becomes idle, inactive. Do you know why he will be inactive? He doesn't empower sin. I'm going to choose to sin. Well, the Holy Spirit's backing out. I mean, he's not getting out of you, but he's inactive. He's. There's a detachment from your walk of grace because you're headed in a direction that is not of grace. And this thing about being idle, it's idle in you. You are seeking to justify yourself by the law. That is not the way of the Holy Spirit. That's not the way of God. That's not the way of Christ, to be justified by the law. If you could get justified by the law, Christ died needlessly. He didn't have to die. Just keep the law. Couldn't do it. Then he goes on and he says this. He said, you seek to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. This thing fallen means to be taken off course. Off course of what? Off course of following Christ and the Spirit of God. Off course of grace. Grace is not just the unmerited favor. In other words, you didn't get it. You didn't do anything to get his favor. It's much more than that. It is the divine empowerment to be able to fulfill everything that he's told you to do. See, that's the grace. So if you begin to walk away to sort of like, okay, and see, falling from grace does not mean that you have, that does not mean that you are committing a sin. Falling from grace is when you already start thinking, I got this. You've already fallen from grace. And in your process of falling from grace, the empowerment to do the things that God wants you to do becomes idle. You got me. Has nothing to do with losing your salvation. Nothing. It's preached that way many times, but that's not the truth. That's a way of manipulating and controlling people. Jesus never manipulated and never controlled people. I just love reading the Bible. You see Jesus walking and he's just going into this next town and an issue comes up and he'll tell the truth. He'll say the truth about that issue. And then what he'll do is he'll say, he that's got ears to hear, let him hear. And he'll just keep on going. It's just, I just, you know, we got a way about us sometimes. It says, do you believe that? Well, no, I don't. Well, listen, you got to believe that. Let me, and Jesus said, just tell them the truth. A man convinced against his will is unconvinced still. Right? So you begin to see this thing begin to unfold, that the people here is wanting to get back under the law, but they've been taught, they've been hearing the teaching, been taught it before, came out of it, and all of a sudden they're getting pressure from these other people. Says, you can't do that. You got to do this and this and this and this. You got to observe this and do that. You got to observe. But Paul says, not well. In chapter 3, he said, oh, you foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell on you? Who has bewitched you? Who has talked you into this thing? That you can start out in the spirit, but you're going to end it up in the flesh. You're going to maintain everything in the flesh. He said, who's bewitched you? Who's cast a spell on you? See, now here's in chapter 5, he's still dealing with some of the same things. Why? Because they're wanting to make sure that they get to do things in order to be things. Have to do things in order to be things. No. If you could be by doing, you wouldn't need him. You be because he did. And he gave to you. Right? Okay. So he said, you've fallen off course, you've fallen away from this grace, you've fallen away, you've got off course of depending upon the Spirit of God. Well, now you're depending on your ability. How many of you have ever done that in your walk with God? You just went on a stroll, and he said, I'll be right here. Now, he's always with you, but his empowerment, he said, I'll be right here to empower you when you get back to this place. He said, he's with you everywhere, he's with you. But he said, I'm not going to empower that. So muster up all the strength you can get you a lot of sleep. Eat a good meal. It's not going to be any use to you. Why? It's inactive. It's idle. And we need the empowerment of God. We need the empowerment of grace to be able to live out the very things that he wants us to have and wants us to do. Through the Spirit through the Spirit by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith. So if that doesn't mean anything to him, what does? He says, faith working through love. Everybody say that. Faith working through love. Have you ever seen any real, real strong faith people? I mean, they got a lot of faith. And then you don't see any love. Well, you know what? That faith is not working. The Bible says faith works through love. Faith works through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. That word called, I mean, this persuasion, this mindset did not come from the Holy Spirit, who has a contract with you. This word call means he's got a contract with you. There's a calling on these missionaries' life. Who gave it to them? God. It's a contract. I'm going to do this. See, contracts are different than covenants. We'll talk about that sometime. Then he goes on and says, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. He said, you start operating in your own power in this one thing, and it looks like it's successful to you. Guess what you're going to be doing? You're going to start doing a whole lot more outside of his power, outside of his presence, outside of his grace. He said, why is that? He said, because just a little bit of leaven will carry out through in your entire lump, entire loaf, the whole lump of dough will be impacted by it. Your whole way of living will be impacted by it. See, one of the most dangerous things we can do is think we can do it without him. Jesus couldn't. He didn't initiate anything on his own. He only did what he saw the Father doing. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. And he said, I only say what I hear the Father saying. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to say what the Father's saying. He didn't do that on his own initiative. So we've got to make sure that we don't do things on our own initiative and think we're doing great. One of the worst things we can do is do things on our own initiative and be blindsided by the fact of by the misconception of it worked. Y'all awake? I know this is more teaching than it is preaching. We'll get some preaching when we get John back, Pastor John back up here. John knows how to preach. You know, he really does. He's a good preacher. But I'm trying to teach you something today so you don't get wrapped up into this misconception that, okay, you've fallen from grace, you've lost your salvation. Okay, you're severed from Christ, you've lost your salvation. That's not what he said. He goes on and he says, but I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view. He said, I've got confidence in you that you won't adopt any other view. You know what this word adopt, you know what it means? That you will leave this mindset. I got confidence in you that you will leave this mindset of thinking that you can do it without him. That you can do it without grace. See, falling from grace is the belief that I can do it without him. And then you start doing things that he says don't do. Are you learning anything? Okay. All right. He said, that you will adopt no other view, that you will leave this mindset. But the one who is disturbing you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. Would that those who were troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Now, here's a good example. Just take it for what you think that means, and you will be, if you do not study to find out what that means, you'll think Paul is saying, you know, these people that's teaching you that, they ought to go out and commit suicide. They ought to mutilate themselves. I hope they mutilate themselves. That is not what Paul is saying. Do y'all want to know what he said? What he meant? All right, go study him and you'll find it. So, no, I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. That word mutilate means to cut themselves away from you. Whole lot different than cut themselves off. I wish that they would cut themselves off from you. Why? Because their teaching is terrible. You know why some people believe no healing happened, that God doesn't heal today? You want to know why people believe that? Bad teaching. Wrong teaching. 13. If you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into the opportunity for the flesh. Don't use your freedom to go out and have an opportunity for the flesh. Oh, I'm free. I'll just do this and God's pleased with it. Now, wait just a second. That's not what he said. Well, what am I supposed to do if I'm not just, but through love, serve one another. But through love, you're free. Free to do what? Serve one another. Yeah, but I've been walking this walk a whole lot longer than he has. I know a whole lot more than he knows. He ain't got nothing to do with that. He said, "Love in love, serve one another." Everybody say, serve one another. Your attitude should be around each other. We'll say, how can I serve you? How can I help you today? I don't have time for that. I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to help them. I drove past a woman, girl, didn't know who. She was walking and it was raining, and it was over here on Porch Ford Road. I was coming to church, and she was walking in the rain, and it was raining. And I went on, listen, people, don't pick up hitchhikers. But she wasn't hitchhiking. I got an excuse. She didn't have her thumb out. She was just walking. So anyway, people said, don't do this. No. Look, follow the Spirit of God. He'll tell you what you need to do and what you don't need to do. Is that truth? Yes. Follow the Spirit of God. I rode by that and saw that it was a girl. She had a little hoodie thing, but saw the hair hanging out. And I said, that poor girl. That was my words that came out. That poor girl. And I don't have a daughter. I've got daughter-in-law, but I don't have a blood daughter. And here's what the Lord told me. If that was your daughter, would you pick her up? And I said, really, I did, but I knew where he's going. I said, yes, I'd pick her up. He said, that's my daughter. And I whooped that car around. I rolled the window down, and I said, I know it might not mean anything, but I pastored a church right up the road. It's raining. You're walking. I got an extra seat. Would you like for me to take you somewhere? She didn't stop. She didn't bat an eye. She went around, opened the door for her. She got in and started talking to her. She was 22 years old, worked up here at Dollar General store, and she said her car had broken down and she's no power at home and difficult times. And I'm like, God, this ain't about a ride only. So I began to minister to her and help her out some and all. And she asked me, she said, what's your name? I said, you have a great day today. She said, what's your name? I said, it's not important. What is important is you knowing Jesus. That's important. And she said, I'm going to go to church Sunday. And I said, that's great. Now, why would you do something like that? The Spirit of God sets us up to be. But if we already said, no, I got this, they let that happen. You know, they probably walking because they did something wrong. They're lazy. All it is judgmentalism. Let's see, how far am I away? I'm on 13. Serve one another. That word means do not enslave. To serve means do not enslave them. What does that mean? Get off your high horse about you have entitlements. Your entitlements will try to enslave people. He said, no, you serve them. Serve the people. Serve the people in love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. Do you know that sheep's, do you know that sheep bites? They bite. You ever been bitten by one? I have. And I'm an under-shepherd. Yeah, so not the great shepherd, but I'm an under-shepherd. I've been bit by sheep before. But walk by the Spirit. This word walk means to walk about, on your going about. As you go in, come in and go out. Do this by the Spirit of God. That's what he said. Do this by the Spirit of God, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. What does that mean? It means that you got a desire of the flesh that you can carry out if you're not walking by the Spirit. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are in opposition one to another. It's in opposition one to another. So that you may not do the things that you please. So that you may not, you don't want to do it, but you do it anyway. Why? You're following the flesh. I don't really want to do this, Pastor. Well, there's a reason why. You're following the flesh and not the Spirit. You're walking about in the flesh and not by the Spirit of God. But if you are led by the Spirit, and this word means to bring forth with celebration. Boy, I love this. If you bring forth with celebration your leading of the Spirit. In other words, people say, I'm going to be led by the Spirit. I got to go do something hard. No, to bring forth with celebration, to be led, you are not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit, you will not be under the law. See, Paul's dealing with all of this stuff. He said, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger. Outburst of anger. I better say that on this side. Outburst of anger. Now, we always want to pick on the immorality. We always want to pick on what we generally think of as biggies. Well, he don't have any biggies or littlies. They're all the same sin. Disputes, dissensions, and factions. Envy. Ooh, I really want that. Ooh, I got to have that. He got one. I need to get one. Hey, he got one. I need to get one. Now, don't talk to me like you hadn't ever done that. Drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, which I warn you before. Here comes another one. That I warn you before that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's it. They lose their salvation. Really? By the way, this word practice means it's not done. It's not done just one time. Say, it's done more than once. That's very key. He said, anybody that does this more than once, we're getting into something here. Whoever does this more than once, if you lose your salvation, I got news for you. Heaven will be empty. Y'all didn't get it. Heaven will be empty. Why? Because I know you've lied more than once. I know you've had jealousy more than once. I know you've had envy more than once. I know you've had strife more than once. I know you, right? Right? So if it means you've done it more than once and you lose your salvation, ain't nobody going, including moi. But that is not what that means. Would you like to know? Go study and you'll find out. Messing with you. What does it mean, Pastor? It means to obtain and receive, that word inherit, to obtain and receive. What's the rest of it? The kingdom. To obtain, to inherit, to obtain and receive the ability to exercise dominion and authority. Ain't got nothing to do with going to heaven or staying out of heaven. What is he saying? If you follow the flesh, you will not be able to obtain and receive the ability to take dominion and to exercise kingly authority in the kingdom. What does that mean? That means that you're living here in the flesh and being saved, being born again, but you're going to follow the flesh and not follow the Spirit. Your effectiveness for the kingdom of God is this: zero. Why? Because you're not being empowered by the Holy Spirit, because you're relying upon your own ability. So that's what that means. Can't, does not inherit the kingdom of God. That has nothing to do with going to heaven. But people will preach it, and people will try to put you under condemnation. That if you do these things, if you practice these things, you ain't going to heaven. Well, guess what? Have you lied more than once? Have you envied more? Have you had strife more than once? Had jealousy more than once? Well, you ain't going either. That is not God. It means that you will not be enabled by the grace of God because you've detached yourself from following the grace, being empowered by the grace. You've detached yourself from that, dependent upon your own ability. Therefore, you have no exercising of the power of God operating in your life, so you're ineffective in the kingdom. You're just here. I don't want to be that, do you? So the next time somebody says, well, you know, if they're practicing these things, that means they're not going to heaven. Well, that is not true. Everybody say it's high noon. But I'm not done. There's more. You will not obtain and receive the ability to exercise kingly authority because we're kings and priests, right? But you won't be exercising it because you're following the flesh and not after the Spirit. Therefore, the divine grace that you've been given to be able to be empowered to do this, you don't have that going on because why? He's idle. Now, we finally got to this. But the fruit of the Spirit, and it's quitting time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, I've got stuff to say about each one of those things, but I can't do it today because I don't have enough time. But I am going to say something about that last portion. Listen, if this thing in verse 21 meant that you're not going to heaven, why didn't he just say, follow the Spirit and you'll go to heaven? He didn't say that. But he countered the mindset of your own ability. He countered that with fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is the nature of God. This is how He operates with you. This is how His relationship, this is how He relates to you. Everybody say, thank God. Thank God. If He did not follow, if God did not follow His own attributes of who He is, if He didn't do that and He didn't practice these things, we'd all be dead. Why? Because He wouldn't have any patience with us. He wouldn't have any love for us. He wouldn't have any long-suffering. He wouldn't have any gentleness. He wouldn't have any kindness. He wouldn't have any meekness. But let me end with this. And I know somebody out there says, you don't believe He's going to end right now, do you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, long-suffering. Self-control. Against such things there is no law. Does anybody know what that means? I'll tell you what it means. Against such things there is no law. If you break the speed limit out here, there is an opposition that's going to rise up against you. Yes? They will pursue you. They will chase you. They will get you. They will pull you. They'll put a blue light special, and it ain't even Kmart. And they will pull you aside, and they will take your money through the ticket. Why? There's a law against that kind of stuff. He said, this right here, there's no law against it. Here's what this means. When you study the Greek, here's what this means. There's no law against it. It means that nothing works against it. Let that say, everybody say, nothing works against it. Operating in the Spirit of God, the fruit of God, when you start living out this love that he says we have, living out this patience, living out this kindness, when we start living this stuff out, he says nothing works against it. Boy, I love that. Nothing works against it. It's unstoppable. You won't get pulled over. There is no opposition. Well, the enemy opposes. The enemy has no opposition to that. He has nothing for it. In the midst of him bringing in trials and him being impatient, in the midst of all that, guess what a fruit is? One of the fruit is what? Patience. And he brings all of this stuff. I'm going to get him impatient. I'm going to get him irritated. I'm going to get him riled up now. I'm going to make him stand in line another 20 minutes. I'm going to get him this time. I'm going to work on him. And the enemy tries to get us all riled up. But guess what? Practice patience and there is nothing. I don't care if it's 40 minutes. Nothing works against it. But it plays havoc with the enemy. It irritates him so bad when you and I start living out the fruit of the Spirit, it will irritate him so bad that he will want to leave you alone for a while. How do you know that? He did Jesus. He left him for a season. Practice living out the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but you don't know what that kindness, you don't know what they did to me. Gentleness, you don't know what they did to me. I deserve, oops. God, I deserve to be treated better than that. And all of a sudden, he sends you a few more worse than the one you just got through with. Why? He's at work for something. What's he working on? He's working on you and I to get to the place to where we will be victorious, where we will be overcomers, and where we will be more than conquerors. When you become more than a conqueror and you actually have that mindset that you're more than a conqueror by living out this fruit of the Spirit, the enemy has nothing for you. That's the reason Jesus says, he has nothing in me. Live out this fruit. There's more. We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about each one of them because it'll astonish you about what some of these things mean. Gentleness and goodness. But he said, that's the reason he said, in the midst of all this, you need to understand the fruit of the Spirit is given to you to make you see the very nature of God inside you that is livable, that can be manifested out, and you don't have to depend upon the flesh for nothing. Now you know why I had to start at the beginning of the chapter to be able to set the tone for why he's talked about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, there's one thing I have trouble with. It's closing. I struggle with it. I've been honest with you. I just struggle. I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop, but I know I have to. So sometimes we'll just say, okay, stand up and let's go home. I don't know what to do. You know, but I do know this. The Spirit of God is moving in this place. Spirit of God is touching lives in this house, touching my life, drawing us, moving in us. This thing about walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, there's more in this chapter that we will learn the next time we talk about it. Would you like to know more about it? Yes. Come on back. Invite somebody to come back, come with you. Listen, there's so many things that's inside passages that are taught and taught wrong. Just like this one, falling from grace, losing salvation, that's not what it means. Severed from Christ, lost salvation, that's not what it means. Shall not, if you practice this, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You've lost your salvation, you ain't going to heaven, that's not what it means. How do we know? We study the Greek. We go back and study the depth of what this means. You know, the Greek and the Hebrew are so broad in their meanings. So picturesque. It's just tremendous. So do you want to give the devil a hard time this week? I mean, I'd love to, wouldn't you? No, y'all know what I mean. I mean, the thing is, I'd like to see him suffer. I'd like to see him leave some of you alone. Right? Well, the only way he's going to do that is for us to be able to live out the fruit of the Spirit that he's already put in us. We don't have to work. Well, I've got to work for patience. You work for patience, you'll never get it. You work for love, you'll never get it. All right, stand to your feet. There may be someone here, I do not know, but there may be someone here that in evaluating your life, you've come to realize that you're not born again. Maybe you've played the part of religion. Maybe you've done some things that, but it didn't. You just didn't believe it in your heart. You might have said it, but you didn't believe it in your heart. But today you want to settle the thing about you being one of His, that you are one of His. If there's anybody here that wants to make sure that you're one of His, raise your hand. Anybody in the house? God bless you. God bless you. God, I'd like for you to come up. Come up quickly. I want y'all to come up quickly. I need somebody talking to these. Brother Doug. Come on up. Come on up quickly. Oh, I mean, they're coming way on up.
You say come up.
Amen. I told you to come up and you did. Praise God. Look, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on up. Brother Doug, you got the stage. This man's going to tell you how to be born again. You can rest assured. So if y'all just face that way, we're going to continue. Y'all just face that way. And Vicky's going to be with him. Brenda, you need to come up. You need to come up as well. They got it. They got it. Go on up. Y'all listen to him. Y'all listen to him. Okay. Now, Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus there'll be no hindrance. There'll be no disillusionment. There's nothing. That they will clearly in their heart see you as you truly are. As you have truly spoke to them, most certainly you have spoken to them today. So in Jesus' name, bring them to salvation. Now, there may be some of you that want to say, Pastor, I have followed the flesh and I really want to engage more in the fruit of the Spirit. Will you pray for me? Raise your hand. Will you pray for me? You don't have to come up, just say pray for me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, God, that you know exactly how to rightly divide the word, and you want to show us how to do that as we study. You have opened the word of God up so gracefully today, and you have brought meaning. You have brought truth to us. Father, we repent. We turn from this thing of depending upon our own ability, the flesh, and we turn to you and we rest in you. Teach us how to abide in your fruit, that we would demonstrate the very nature and character of God. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. 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 Now, they're still going to be doing this, so be quiet just a little bit. But I'd like for you to go get your, here. The ribbons are over here. You can go get one of those. And If you're if you signed up for VBS as a volunteer, be here tomorrow night at 6:30. We're going to have a meeting and we will eat. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.